23 minutes to 8. Welcome back to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Joining us now on the line, we have Mawlana Imtiaz Bayat Sal Hafidhahullah. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, firstly, on behalf of Radio Islam, all of our staff here and our listeners, condolences to yourself, to your family members. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy for you. May this be a means of your salvation in the year after. And may you get richly rewarded for all of the patience and the difficulty that you and your family have to go through.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mawlana, before we talk about, some of the lessons perhaps that you've learned in the last few days and the coping mechanisms and that kind of thing, Tell our listeners a little bit about Hamza. I know it's difficult, but perhaps they'd like to know a little bit more about this young boy.
Allahu Akbar. You know, it is so difficult to condense the life of a young child in a few minutes. And I look at him with great affection to think that in these few years he's done so much. He's been to so many places and he fulfilled, you know, anything that a person would have wanted to do in such a short time. With us, he's been traveling, he's been to all three Haramain, Harams, and he's been to Jordan, Syria with us, he's been overseas, he's been to all the African countries here in the Southern African region. You know, we've traveled extensively, he's always been there, he's always been excited. Since the time he was born, and his name was kept Hamza, A family person came to us and said, you know, change his name, he'll be very active and he'll be very this and very that. So we said to them that now we are very happy and confirmed that we've chosen the right name. A very brave type of a youngster. We moved to Johannesburg recently, a few weeks ago, and he was the first person to jump over the wall and go and meet the neighbors and bring the boy over this side and say, let's play. He was the light, you know, in the house. He was the live wire everywhere. Whether it was, and I'm not saying this because I want to praise him, or I just want to say something to create some type of around us, but that when he was in madrasa, before he started madrasa, he used to come and sit in the class on my lap, and everyone would have a liking to him. Someone would bring him a sweet, someone would hold him, someone would carry him, and later on, he in the classroom himself, when he got into class, then he was like the person that everyone sat around and spoke to. Everyone wanted his attention. When he started school, then the same thing happened there. And when we moved here to Joburg, just in 3 weeks in the classroom, the teacher phoned and said to me that this is the light of my classroom. When I see him and I focus in the class, I see him always. You know, he brings joy to the whole classroom. Our maid that's there now at the house, she's only a week with us. And yes, on Monday she came to work and the neighbors told her what happened. They said she burst out crying and wailing, and we could hear it on the phone on the other side as well. So he captured the hearts of people. He stole the hearts of people. There were people in Bethal that, like Brother Hashim Kaka and his daughter, would take him away on Fridays for supper, etc. They would keep him as long as they could. And he was a happy-go-lucky youngster. His brother, who is elder than him, would wait for him to come, and then they would go together to the room and sleep, and he would feel comfortable like that, you know, safe like that. So in every aspect of life, you know, we would remember him the way he was. He always asking questions about deen, always coming for salah, you know, being there attached to the masjid. Just a few days back, if I have to only mention just a few incidents, my wife was teaching them something, mentioning about the virtues of Jannah, etc. There'll be streams of honey and milk and beautiful water. So he said, I have a question, what is it? He said, no, will there be streams of chocolate also in Jannah or not? So I said, of course, you can wish for anything. He said, then definitely I'll swim in there with my mouth open. You know, these were the kinds of things and thought patterns that he had with him. And if I think, you know, he had so much love for itar. Everywhere he would ask, buy this itar for me, give me this. He would take my good ones and hide it in his pocket and use it. And on the day when ghusl was made, that's why Shabir Sahib, the principal Darul Zakaria, phoned me and said, I'm coming to make the ghusl, wait for me. And when I got there, Hazrat was already waiting, you know, excited that I want to make this boy's ghusl. And after ghusl, Mawlana said that this atar has too much color, you know, find another atar. And everybody that was standing around opened the atar from their pockets, and they poured the bottles over him. I said, Ya Allah, this boy loved atar so much, and today you've blessed him, you know, with the best type of utur, and you're fragrancing him and preparing him for Jannah also. On Saturday, we were not coming to Rochni. Our parents were invited to us for supper, but Allah Ta'ala had world different. you know, as Maulana Choksi Sahib explained to us on Saturday morning when I went to make Taziyat, because he lost his wife on Friday. And all the advices he gave us was such as if it was a bayan for me to be prepared for this. And he said that two things pull a person, will always drag a person and take him to that place. And one is the dastarkhan, the food that has been written for a person. They will always pull a person. It will drag him to wherever it has to be. And he will eat that food wherever he has to. And the second thing is that mitti, that sand that pulls a person, because his mort is written there. So there was another funeral here in our family. We know the founding members of LMA, the auntie passed away here. So it's our family. So we came for the janaza to Roshni, and it was a means also for us meeting all the family. And he met everyone. He met salam at everyone. And then we went to the Qabristan and he stood next to me and he performed the last salah of his life, which was the janaza salah also. And after salah, he ran to the Qabr and he was peeping and he was very interested. His eyes were fixed into the empty grave. And he looked at it with great interest. And I said, I wonder why he's looking, because I used to always take him before, but today he's looking. And then we came out of the Qabristan and he walked around the graves and he was in his own world. And then when we came to the car, and then he pointed at the house. He said, what is this van for? It looks like our kumbi. And what is that? So I explained to him, this is for the janaza, etc., etc. And then he just nodded his head and kept taking the mental notes. And then, of course, we came home, and then the rest of it is history, the accident, etc. So he was that type of a person that we will never forget. He was a person we would envy to be in his place. And Allah Ta'ala granted him such a stages that, you know, people loved him from all over. People came to the janaza that never knew us, that never knew him. And it was a janaza where people said to me it was the second biggest janaza here in Roshni for a person who is not even a resident here. People that I know, one person came from Cape Town, and, you know, he doesn't know us. People flew in from PE, from Durban, from Komatipoort, from, you know, people came from Hebron. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has, you know, shown us, and I said to him myself that this boy has taught us a lesson in life. That by being good to people and being interactive with people, happy, smiling with everyone, Allah Ta'ala gave him that type of izzat that people came from all over, and a huge crowd of men and women attended his janaz also. what brings solace to our hearts is nothing else but deen. Our deen, alhamdulillah, has brought so much of peace and contentment to our hearts that we can never make and appreciate that enough. We can never make shukr enough. Mm. You know, I remember a talk about Imam Sulaiman Ullah Damar Barakatuh a few years back, where he said that I was traveling and I was on the airport somewhere and I saw a man standing and eating. He says, I made so much of shukr on this sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we were taught, you know, the basic fundamentals of life, that you must sit and eat. And that same night in the ICU, there was a non-Muslim on the left of us, and he died during the night about 2-3 a.m. And just one person came in there to mourn his death when they were phoned and called in. And the way she cried and she screamed and she wailed and all our family that was sitting in the passage outside and was sleeping because it was late, they were sitting on the floor and sleeping. Lucky them, desire khair for the sacrifice they made. And they all ran and said, is it over? What happened? I said, no, it's nothing to do with Hamza. It's somebody on that side. And when Hamza passed away, you know, everyone read Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, Hasbunallah wa Ni'mal Wakeel, and they have comforted each other. They you know, they kept the pain and the same sorrow inside, and they shed those warm tears. But, you know, I said, look at the difference, world of difference. What Allah Ta'ala has shown us through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah, the life that a Muslim should lead. So we bring solace that we have the deen that has taught us that we have to make sabr in this world. Life is not forever. You know, I said to them, we are all going to die one day. We are all in a queue towards the end of our life. It's just that our ticket numbers are not the same. It's all different. Somebody is before us, somebody is after us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith that when a person's child passes away, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says to the angels, you have taken the child of my slave. And the angels reply, yes, we have done that. Then Allah Ta'ala says that you have taken the apple of his eye. You have taken someone that they loved so much, they looked at all the time. You know, they brought joy to their heart, whether it was eating or sleeping or doing anything silly also, it will bring happiness to you. They said, yes, we've taken the apple of his eye. And Allah Ta'ala says to them, then what did my slave say at that time? They say, Allah, he praised you. And he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Thereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, now go and build for my slave a house in Jannah and call it Baytul Ham, call it the house of praise. This hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So these hadith, these quotations bring joy to the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for us a great reward. That none of us are going to live here forever, and we're all going to go on to the other side. And on that side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the real life. He will reward us in full. And more than that, especially for those who have lost a child. You know, Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu narrates in one place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loses one child, their reward is nothing except Jannah. Abu Nu'aym in his Hulya extracts a hadith from Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Muslim children on the day of Qiyamah will be under the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interceding, and the intercession will be accepted. And in one place I've also heard, it's written that the children, these masum children, will be under the arsh, and they will have a pool of water with them, you know, where they will be allowed to sit and relax. But when Allah Ta'ala looks down at them, they will be looking up. Allah Ta'ala will say, but here's everything for you, enjoy yourself. They say, no, we are waiting for our parents. We want our parents to be forgiven entry into Jannah before we can enjoy ourselves. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will accept their intercession there also. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that these children, these masum children, they are the little ones of Jannah. They will grab hold of their parents by the flap of their clothes on the day of Qiyamah, and they will not let go until entry is granted for them into Jannah. So these kinds of narrations, these kinds of hadith, and they bring great solace to the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us to suppress our sorrow and grief and become happy again, that there is something better for us in the future. And that this is not the end of the of everything. This is just a means for us to gain a higher status. It's a means for us to, to be ready for the akhirah also, and a lesson for us also to learn. Because, I mean, it's normal for a person to feel pain. You know, there's a quotation where it says that child loss is not an event. It is an indescribable journey of survival. It is hard to forget someone who gave you so much to remember. And that death leaves a heartache no one can heal, but love leaves a memory that no one can steal. Our Ustad has taught us that Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, while it is a dua to be recited at the time of difficulty and pain and sorrow, it should also become a wird, a zikr for a person in this type of condition. Then he will receive the reward for that same type of sabr he made at the time of the difficulty. So those who have gone through this, should whenever they remember a difficult time in their life or a loss, they should recite Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, and they will receive the same reward that they received at the time when this happened. And very important to all, you know, those who have been through this and who might come, will go through this again, is that important hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as-sabru inda sadmatil ula, or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sabr is at the end time, the mokka, when something happens to you. That is the actual test of that sabr. The test is at that point, that makes sabr immediately. Look at the lives of Sahaba, when they were told that so-and-so passed away in the battle, your father, your son, your brother, immediately they would get off and they would recite two rakat salah, wasta'inu bi sabri wa salah. They would take strength from this, and there's definitely strength in this. That person who recites Inna Lillahi continuously at the time of his grief, he will find his heart will be filled with peace and contentment again. So that will ward off the whisperings of shaitan, and it will give that person strength also. So inshallah, whoever goes through this or has been through this, must try and inshallah ponder on these important points that we have been taught by our Sadis Ikram in the light of the Hadith and Quran. And this will give them strength and solace. They will be able to react in the correct, proper way, bring deen into our lives totally, read salah on time every day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our guardian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our helper. And He will always be there for us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all, inshallah.
Ameen. Well, what you have said has obviously touched the hearts of many people. It's a very emotional thing. But at the same time, it's been very inspirational, you know, the kind of points that you've shared and explaining to us how you're drawing your own solace. Very quickly, Mona, before we let you go, it's always very difficult for the younger siblings in these few days since it's happened. Obviously, you yourself will be evaluating your approach towards your other children as you go along. But how have you been explaining this to them?
Well, alhamdulillah, we know we've got such a strong family structure. We've got so many people around us. We are still here at our parents' place in Roshi. We haven't even reached home yet. And they are holding on to us, and each and every person saying something, holding them, hugging them, and explaining to them that, look, this is the time of sabr, you know, and we are told not to show too much of pain and sorrow in front of them. Rather talk about the positive side, where that, you know, he's gone to a better place, he's playing in Jannah, he's now a friend of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's joined the others that have passed on from our family. These kind of consoling words, brings happiness and joy to their life to such a point that, you know, they wish that they would have been there enjoying this, you know. And you tell them, the younger ones, that there's no school for him, there's no this for him, there's no that for him. He's got the best of foods and sweets and you know, the rivers of chocolate, etc. So this brings solace and ease to their hearts.
Indeed. Well, Jazakumullah for your time. And once again, our condolences and our du'as are with you and the family. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy.
Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mawlana Imtiaz Bayat Sahib, hafidhahullah. Very emotional when you have to listen to someone talking about how they've lost a near one, a dear one, especially when it's a young 7-year-old, a live wire in the house. But at the same time, very inspirational when you see how they take solace from deen and comfort in deen.